This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could this thing be over?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Thursday morning. The global economy could be mending faster than earlier thought. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says this morning the recession may already be done in some places. The OECD forecasts show expansion in the third quarter as measured by gross domestic product, GDP, in the United States and the Eurozone. That's more optimistic than its last update earlier this summer. Part of the recovery involves getting banks more healthy. Indeed, many financials are back from the brink of collapse. And now the question is how to prevent that from happening again. The New York Times reports the Obama administration is expected to release a proposal today that would change the way banks do business. Marketplace's Sam Eaton has more.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner plans to release an outline today for overhauling international capital standards at banks. The message comes a day before G20 finance ministers meet in London. The proposal's key measure is a requirement that banks, especially the ones deemed too big to fail, would have to maintain larger reserves of capital. That would give banks a bigger cushion to weather any future financial crises. But it would also eat into bank profits by limiting the capital that can be used as leverage. The proposal would impose even tougher standards for financial firms that engage in risky behavior like derivatives trading. The main challenge is to make banks safer without limiting their ability to make the loans that keep the economy and employment growing. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
World stocks are getting a little boost today. Shares in Europe mostly flat, generally under a quarter of a percent up. In Asia, stocks rose for the most part. Chinese shares soared more than 4.5% on news that lending there by large state-owned banks was strong in August. In Japan, the Nikkei fell a bit by about 0.2%. Here at home, it was another off day on Wall Street. The Nasdaq fell a point or two, a fraction of a percent. The S&P and Dow shed about 0.33% each. According to new projections, the world's population will surpass 7 billion by late 2011. That means we'll have added a billion people in only 12 years, faster than expected. As Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington, exploding growth poses some problems for the world economy.
In some places, the population is contracting. Families in parts of Europe and Asia aren't having enough kids to replace themselves. Carl Haub is the co-author of the latest projections for the Population Reference Bureau. He says in those countries,
we will have something like less than half the number of workers per retiree. A worker today can look forward to working much longer years, possibly less of a pension, far fewer workers supporting retired citizens.
Haub says Scandinavia and France have turned around population declines with family-friendly tax incentives. But in poorer countries, growing populations are draining away scarce resources. Haub says those countries are already too dependent on foreign aid.
And I wonder if, as the developed countries have their own problems, how willing are they going to be to lend a hand to the developing countries who are actually going to need it more and more and more?
By mid-century, Haub predicts Africa alone will add another billion people. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
China has agreed to buy $50 billion of the International Monetary Fund's first bond issue. It's a move that'll help strengthen the IMF's lending ability, especially to developing nations. And for China, the purchase also gives the country a new investment vehicle to help diversify its foreign holdings beyond U.S. Treasury bills. That's where it keeps a large share of its reserves.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, sponsoring the retirement planning documentary Retirement Revolution, September 15th on PBS. Local listings at pbs.org. and by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Mark this on your calendar. Beer pong season starts tomorrow. Unless you're just out of college, you may not even know what that is. Beer pong is a drinking game turned quasi-sport with big prize money up for grabs. And it's inspired nearly 100 different leagues across the country. We sent Marketplace's Jeff Tyler to do a little research at a local bar. He filed this report.
I need three in a row.
The rules are simple. Two players square off across a table. In front of each one are 10 plastic cups, about a third full of beer. Players take turns tossing ping pong balls at their rivals' cups. When the ball goes in, the opposing player drinks the beer and removes the cup. The last player with cups on the table wins. At El Guapo Cantina in Los Angeles, 22-year-old Harley Connor paid $10 to enter a beer pong tournament.
It's not too expensive because that includes the beer that we got to play with.
For serious players, beer pong is about sport, not drinking. Losers do more of that, consuming about one beer per game. A tournament in Southern California this weekend has a $10,000 prize. Organizer Peter Rush says the money gives beer pong legitimacy. People
take the game seriously, and not just an issue of getting intoxicated.
Not just.
Other tournaments offer even bigger prizes.
The World Series is for $50,000. There's definitely people out there that sit at home and throw ping pong balls, hoping to get better, hoping to win that money.
Dan DeSorbo co-authored the book of beer pong. He also has a website that sells merchandise, like his ultimate kit.
Has the cups, the balls, a rack to hold the cups so it avoids spillage. That goes for $15.
This year, he sold almost 2 million beer pong balls and another 2 million cups. The owner of El Guapo Cantina, who goes by the single name Butler, says his Sunday tournaments bring in a lot of extra business.
They drink on the side, and then when other customers come into the bar, it looks like a crowded, happening place.
Plus, Butler picks up money playing competitively.
I won 10 grand in a tournament last week. And overall, you win about $1,000 every week just playing pickup cash games.
Pickup games aren't enough for the faithful. Fans are circulating a petition to make beer pong an Olympic sport. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Hey, throw us a line at our website and join the adventure in the scratch pad. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, shares his thoughts and yours every day inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.